Hey, hello, folks. Welcome to the first show of the year, the January 2nd, 2010, first show of the decade as well, with the Illinois World Labor Hour, brought to you over the air by WFT 90.1 FM, listener-supported community radio in Champaign, Illinois, and webcast live worldwide at www.weft.org. Views and opinions here expressed are the speakers and don't represent any person in charge at WFT. Now, here's Tom with acknowledgments of our underwriters.
The Illinois World Labor Hour is supported in part by the Illinois Education Association Teachers Union and the Central Illinois Jobs with Justice. Building coalitions amongst workers, unions, and the community, the Illinois Education Association and the Central Illinois Jobs with Justice are proud to support WEFT Community Radio in East Central Illinois. This hour of programming is also brought to you by the listeners of WEFT and by the Brotherhood of Maintenance Way. The Brotherhood of Maintenance Way employees are proud to continue their support for the Illinois World Labor Hour. A democratic union, BMWE, celebrates the voice for labor on WEFT. It is our hope that all workers may share the same benefits that we enjoy, such as living wages, job security, away-from-home expense pay, early retirement, Canadian-style health insurance, and guaranteed year-round work. The Illinois World Labor Hour is also supported in part by the listeners of WEFT and by the AFL-CIO of Champaign County. The AFL-CIO represents the interests of more than 7,000 workers in Champaign County and more than 13 million workers nationwide. Recognizing that strong workers build strong communities, the AFL-CIO is proud to support community radio in East Central Illinois.
Okay, thank you, Tom. I'm your host, David Johnson, here today with co-host Tom Thomas, who has some workers interest news for us later in the program. The Labor Hour Cultural Corner as well. Tom's brand new poem for this week, first heard here on the Illinois World Labor Hour, is entitled "Maybe There'll Be a Sunrise." Also here with us today is co-host Bob Plesney, our technical expert and advisor, who has some news and banner for us, and also Bill Gorell, co-founder of the Illinois World Labor Hour. Okay, well, Tom, let's start off with you with some headlines.
Illinois Public Works and, or Illinois Public Media rather, and WSIU Public Broadcasting will host two separate debates this month between the Democratic and Republican gubernatorial candidates. The Republicans' debate will air at 8 o'clock p.m. Thursday, January 14th at the WILL-TV studio at 300 North Goodwin Avenue in Urbana. The Democrats' debate will air at 8 o'clock p.m. Thursday, January 21st at WSIU-TV in Carbondale. WILL-TV and WILL-AM radio will carry both debates live, and they will be streamed live at www.illinois.edu. All of the candidates have agreed or tentatively agreed to participate. The Republican candidates are Adam Andrzejewski, State Senator Bill Brady, State Senator Kirk Dillard, Andy McKenna, Don Proft, former Attorney General Jim Ryan, and Bob Schillerstrom. WILL-TV's John Paul will moderate the Republican debate. The only remaining Democratic candidates for governor are Governor Pat Quinn and Comptroller Dan Hines. WSIU's Jack Titchener will moderate the Democrats' debate. The different stations are producing the debates in collaboration with the University of Illinois Institute of Government and Public Affairs and the Paul Simon Public Policy Institute at SIU in Carbondale. Bob?
Okay, the Washington Post is reporting on some recent aggressive moves by Department of Labor Secretary Hilda Solis on workplace safety. Many of her actions seem to be moving away from OSHA's previous stress on cooperation with employers. There also appears to be a serious fear among employers that the Clinton-era ergonomics rules will be revived, but it's unclear what, if any, action is occurring on that. Solis made a splash in October when OSHA slapped the largest fine in its history on oil giant BP for failing to fix safety problems after a 2005 explosion at its Texas City refinery. Garnering less attention, she just finished hiring 250 new investigators to protect workers from being cheated out of wage and overtime pay. She also started a new program that scrutinizes business records to make sure worker injury and illness reports are accurate. And she is proposing new standards to protect workers from industrial dust explosions, an effort the Bush administration had long resisted. Labor Department spokesman Jamie Zapata said the idea of helping businesses understand the rules remains an important part of the agency's strategy, along with stepped-up enforcement. Solis plans to hire 100 new OSHA inspectors next year. The massive fine against BP certainly caught the public's attention, but other businesses are also paying a steep price for violating safety rules. 2 months into the new fiscal year, OSHA has already cited 6 companies for egregious violations that carry the highest penalties. There were only 4 such egregious cases in all of the previous year. Solis said her agency this year will tackle 90 new rules and regulations. One change would give workers more information about how their pay is computed. Another would make employers disclose whether they sought advice from anti-union labor consultants.
Okay. Financial aid from various levels of government is driving Tesla Motors Incorporated to expand its production of jazzy electric cars and parts. But will the company make their clean emission vehicles at a site that, as some say, is unsafe? Currently, Tesla financiers assembly of 1,000 electric Roadster models annually in San Carlos, California, said Tesla spokesperson Ricardo Reis. Tesla Roadsters are not cars for the masses, at least not yet. Roadsters sell for $110,000 and up. They can drive 244 miles on a single battery charge with zero tailpipe emissions. Well-heeled buyers can see these autos at showrooms in the Golden State, Silicon Valley, and Los Angeles, and in London, Munich, and Monaco. Away from these showrooms, though, issues of private wealth and public power it shapes are clashing in Tesla's bid to grow. In June, the Federal Department of Energy awarded a 2-part loan totaling $465 million to Tesla. The loan came from the Department of Energy's Advanced Technology Vehicles Manufacturing Loan Program to help automobile manufacturers and component suppliers to pay the cost of re-equipping, expanding, or establishing a manufacturing facility in the United States. We're going to have more on this later in the show. We're going to be having Steve Zeltzer, who's the head of the California Workers Memorial, call in to talk about this Tesla Motor Company and this green jobs, at least part of it, inspired by the Obama administration. It's not looking good already, folks. Looks like Tesla's manufacturing plant is being built on a toxic waste site, and all their labor assembling these cars are going to be non-union.
I don't know. Aren't there some empty factories in places like Flint, Michigan?
Oh, indeed, Bill.
Well,
indeed.
Michael Moore ought to be doing what he did with Phil Knight of Nike.
Yes.
Which is challenging Tesla to come build cars in Flint.
Well, indeed. Well, the thing is that the Tesla, as I said, is $110,000 and up, so it's definitely no people's car.
I think GM GM is actually building a battery plant or remodeling a plant to turn it into an electric battery plant up there in Michigan.
Well, that'll be interesting considering they destroyed a program for an electric car back in the early 90s, which you can see documentation on this in a really well-produced film called Who Killed the Electric Car? So,
interesting film.
Yes. So, Tom?
Hey, considering their simplistic style of living, one may not think that the Amish population would be affected by the current recession to the extent of most other Americans. However, rising land prices and a growing population have forced a large segment of America's Amish out of farming and into other lines of work. According to recent figures, there is only an estimated 10% of America's 227,000 Amish still relying on agriculture as a primary livelihood. Many are now supporting their families by making Amish handicrafts, working in construction, and constructing high-quality Amish furniture. However, those industries are also suffering in the throes of the recession. The law of supply and demand has kicked in, and the cost of Amish-made goods have plummeted. According to an Ohio Amish craftsman who hand-builds Amish furniture, it's definitely a buyer's market. We've started marking everything down to rock bottom so we can move more goods and keep more members of the Amish community earning a living and putting food on the table for their families. With the high quality of Amish furniture at rock bottom prices, some consumers are snatching up everything they can get their hands on. The recession hopefully won't last forever, but it does make now the perfect time to get Amish-made crafts and furniture.
Okay, workers at SAB Miller's soft drink unit in South Africa plan to step up their strike over pay this week, threatening to disrupt beer and soft drink supply in the new year. About 1,000 workers at ABI, which employs about 4,000 people, and as part of SAB Miller's domestic unit, South African Breweries, launched a strike last Tuesday demanding a 9.5% wage hike after rejecting the company's 8.3% offer. We are in consultation with other members at the beer division of SAB and other subsidiaries to join us in a sympathy strike, Food and Allied Workers Union General Secretary Katishi Masamola told Reuters on Tuesday. The week-long strike, which ABI said has had little impact on operations in the busiest trading period of the year, is likely to intensify in mid-January. And Coca-Cola bottling workers around the world may start industrial action to support the members of the Food and Allied Workers Union in South Africa, whose members are striking. The labor action will be organized by the International Union of Food and Allied Workers Association, and it'll start January 6th and continue till February 5th. The Johannesburg-based labor union said in the emailed statement today, the union, known as FAWU, started striking at SAB Miller's amalgamated beverages industry on December 22nd. And more strike notices have been sent to SAB Miller's South African beer divisions and three Coca-Cola bottling companies in the country, the union said.
Okay. Colombia is preparing to attack Venezuela in an operation that will be made to look like the objective is a base of Colombian guerrillas, Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez said on Monday, December 28th, in a speech to troops that was shown on state television. Venezuelan President said foresees 2007 to be a difficult year for Venezuela, mostly because of U.S. military presence in neighboring Colombia. In an opinion piece published in several Venezuelan newspapers on Sunday, the president of Venezuela announced it will not be an easy year. According to Chavez, an international conspiracy is preparing the script to reverse the process of emancipation of the Americas. The Venezuelan head of state earlier expressed that he considers a signed U.S.-Colombian pact allowing the Americans to use Colombian military bases and airports in the war on drugs a threat for Venezuelan sovereignty. There's an addition to the story. There's also been, I guess, U.S. military air flights in the Venezuelan airspace from Netherlands-owned islands in the Caribbean of Curacao and Bonaire. So stay tuned to the story. We'll see what happens. I mean, considering everything, I mean, what's going on here? I mean, besides the war in Iraq and Afghanistan, the recent bombings and military involvement in Yemen, and now they're going to expand into the South America? I mean, this is crazy.
Hey, beginning today, the Champaign Public Library will sell older issues of magazines for 10 cents each at a magazine clearance sale on weekends in January. The annual event promotes recycling and benefits the library. The magazines, most dating from 2008, are copies of the most popular titles amongst the 400-plus that the library offers. They will be sold to the public in the Friend Shop, the library's used bookstore on the lower level of the library at 200 West Green in Champaign. Starting this month, the shop will have new hours from 1:30 to 4:30 p.m. on Saturdays and Sundays. The magazine clearance starts today and will continue every weekend until everything is sold. Shoppers are encouraged to go early in order to find the best selections.
Okay, a Republican senator who has been blocking President Barack Obama's nominee to head the Transportation Security Administration complains that Democrats are trying to rush a vote on the nominee without adequate debate. Senator Jim DeMint of South Carolina has placed a hold on the nomination of former FBI agent and police detective Earl Southers. DeMint said Wednesday that he is concerned that Southers would let TSA screeners join a labor union. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has accused Republicans of jeopardizing national security by playing politics with Southers' nomination. The holdup in Southers' nomination confirmation has been highlighted since the airliner attack last week in Detroit.
Okay, following up on a visit from FBI officials about an eyewitness account first described to MLive.com in Detroit, Michigan attorney Kurt Haskell described the visit in comment sections across MLive on Wednesday. Haskell and his wife Lori were aboard Flight 253 when Umar Farouk Abulalab allegedly tried to destroy the plane. They say another man tried to help Abdullah board the plane in Amsterdam. Haskell had two detailed posts in two different stories here. It's part one, originally posted. He goes on to say, today is the second worst day of my life. Today is the day that I realize that my own country is lying to me and all my fellow Americans. He said, ever since I got off Flight 253, I have been reporting what I saw in U.S. Customs, especially an hour after we left the plane. If you want to hear more about this story, you can go to MLive.com and read it. And just to give you a little synopsis, this story, this eyewitness account of him and his wife, what they saw, does not fit the corporate media's description of what happened. So here we go again. More lies by our government. Okay. I thought Tom had another story here.
Just the three.
Just the three. Okay, very good. Well, then we're going to go to Workers' Headline News, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. Immense economic pain was inflicted upon millions of U.S. workers and their families in 2009 as Wall Street banks were bailed out with hundreds of billions of dollars. The banksters quickly returned to their old greedy ways. AFL-CIO President Rich Trumka led a protest at the bankers' convention in Chicago.
We're here to make a difference, to clean up Wall Street's reeking garbage that's contaminating Main Street.
We are facing a jobs crisis in this nation of a magnitude not seen since the Great Depression.
U.S. Action's Alan Charney announcing the Jobs for America Now coalition of 60 organizations urging Congress to enact immediate, bold jobs creation legislation. 2009 saw the loss of millions of jobs as the Great Recession ravaged workers. The AFL-CIO urged a second stimulus focused like a laser on job creation. The House passed a $174 billion jobs bill, and the Senate is expected to act on it in the new year. Labor pushed for health care reform with a public option, no tax on health benefits, and an employer coverage mandate. We got far less than that. Earlier in the year, the sheet metal workers Vincent Panvini articulated the disgust workers in their unions have for politicians who cave to the corporations on health care reform and the Employee Free Choice Act labor law reform.
Gutless and spineless, I call them. Some of these blue dog Democrats, they forget where they came from, and, they drink the Kool-Aid.
The once mighty U.S. auto industry collapsed in 2009 with both GM and Chrysler filing for bankruptcy. The UAW lost tens of thousands of jobs, made steep concessions for new hires, and was forced to accept billions of dollars less to pay for retiree health care. United Steelworkers Vice President Tom Conway says the collapse of the U.S. auto industry is directly linked to decades of bad trade policies.
2 decades or so of this continual offshoring and pandering to the Wall Street moneyed interests need to come to an end. It's a system that's broken.
At the National Labor College in Maryland, new Labor Secretary Hilda Solis vowed to better protect workers.
Enforcement of our labor laws will be intensified to provide an effective deterrent to employers who put their workers' lives at risk. When it comes to workplace protection, the Department of Labor is back in the enforcement business.
In other labor news developments this year, the U.S. Catholic Church reached agreement with organized labor on principles to respect the just rights of Catholic health care workers, and U.S. Labor Against the War called for resistance to President Obama's escalation of the Afghan war. In the new year, workers in their unions will continue their struggle for the Employee Free Choice Act labor law reform, jobs creation legislation, and re-regulation of the financial industry.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Edwards lived in the little town of West Seattle on the other side of Puget Sound. Little tiny house, little bitty kitchen. He was a Norwegian immigrant, gave all of his life to the logging and to the union. He carried his red card in the union every working day of his life. We sat in that little kitchen and he told me the story of the Spokane Free Speech Fight, 1910. I would not attempt to duplicate that rumbling baritone voice or that Norwegian accent, but is the story the way he told it. He said, "Oh, they boomed into Spokane and towns all over the West, looking for work in the silver mines up in the Coeur d'Alene or in the logging camps or in the wheat harvest, the 110 cats, the great wheat lands that flow away south of Spokane called the Palouse. Well, you jungle up in the flops, wait for the weather to break, and then you go down on the street on Trent Avenue, and there were these rows of little shops called labor sharks. Well, labor sharks hold jobs. You give a labor shark $4 and it entitled you to a job, say putting down a new mine shaft up in the Coeur d'Alene. Well, you'd boom up there to that job, burning up your road stake as you went. You get up there, work a month, get paid, and then fired. Why? Because the foreman on the job was splitting the labor fees with the shark in town. crooked as hell. They call it perpetual motion, where you had one job, one worker going to the job, one worker on the job, one worker coming back to buy another damn job. Well, he said that the union, the Wobblies,
Okay, now we're entering our segment of the Labor Hour, the Labor Hour Cultural Corner, and Tom Thomas's new poem of the week, Maybe There'll Be a Sunrise.
When spoken by politicians, most promises aren't worth a hoot. They're smiling as they lie to us because they're raking in that loot. What is our nation coming to in this year that we have ahead? Will we see that change referred to? And will the hungry all be fed? Will all our jobs start coming back the Illuminati took away? Will the bankers quit taking homes and give the poor places to stay? There are so many changes that we as a people need to make. Hopefully in the year ahead we'll do it for our children's sake. What it requires is unity to leave our kids a land of the free. Millions of marching feet need be out in the streets for them to see. Protesting all illegal war, demanding we be given jobs, in step together we must march before that right fascism robs. It looked as if that change might come not all that many months ago. Now it appears we hoped in vain, since misery we all still know. But maybe there'll be a sunrise coming with the new year ahead. Maybe the darkness washed away will show hope's not completely dead. Maybe There'll Be a Sunrise was written at the Poets Loft in Champaign, Illinois, December 21st, 2009, New Year's Eve, and was first recited live January 2nd, 2010, on the Illinois World Labor Hour on WEFT 90.1 FM in Champaign, community radio for East Central Illinois.
Okay, thank you, Tom. A few public service announcements here. Tune in tomorrow, Sunday, for Labor's View TV from 4 to 5 p.m. on Comcast Channel 6, our Urbana Public Television. This week's edition of Labor's View will be about the Bhopal tragedy, so tune in. Also, Tesla Motors Road Trip from Los Angeles to the Auto Show in Detroit will be coming through Champaign on Tuesday, January 5th from 3 to 5 p.m. On Tuesday, January 5th, you can see the new Tesla electric car at the U of I Engineering Department at 1308 West Green, Urbana. For more info, you can call 333-2151. Okay, and we're waiting for our caller to call in, and we're going to be, doing a little bit. I'm playing this song for actually me and Bill next. It's called The Message, and I think it's really relevant in this day and age.
It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Broken glass everywhere, people on the stage, you know they just don't care. I can't take the smell, can't take the noise, got no money to move out, I guess I got no choice. Rats in the front room, roaches in the back, junkies in the alley with the baseball bat. I tried to get away, but I couldn't get far, cause a man with a tow truck repossessed my car. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. Standing on the front stoop, hanging out the window, watching all the cars go by, roaring as the breezes blow. A crazy lady living in a bag, eating out of garbage pails, used to be a fag hag. Such a dance to tango, skipped the life and dangle. A silk on print to seem to lost her senses. Down at the peep show, watching all the creeps, so she can tell her stories to the girls back home. She went to the city and got so did it. She had to get a pimp, she couldn't make it on her own. Don't push me, cause I'm close to the edge. I'm trying not to lose my head. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under. It's like a jungle sometimes, it makes me wonder how I keep from going under.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, David.
Hi, Steve, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Well, thanks for calling in today. I've got Steve Zeltzer on the line from San Francisco, California. Steve, would you like to make a little bit more of an introduction of yourself?
Yeah, I've been involved in labor media and they have a labor TV show on cable in San Francisco called Labor on the Job for many years. And also, I've been involved in protecting health and safety in Workers' Memorial Day, which happens every April 28th. And injured workers, defending them and their families and workers who've been killed on the job. So we've been organizing. We have commemoration events in Sacramento and Los Angeles last year. And as we've begun to organize for injured workers and their families, we've discovered that a lot of injured workers are not getting their health care. And we've been taking up a fight to get health care, get rid of the insurance companies, and also expose the corruption and cost-shifting by companies and insurance agencies who refuse to take care of workers who are injured on the job.
Well, it's really amazing how these issues seem to tie together and everything. But you called in today specifically about a certain, let's put it this way, an incident, I guess, or actually a development. We read a story on our headlines about Tesla Motors, this company that's making these new electric cars that definitely are no cars for the people since they started $110,000 and up. But there's been some other, and they got a grant from the federal government, I guess. And
the Department of Energy.
Okay, yeah. For these luxury cars. The story, it gets worse. Do you want to talk a little bit about
well,
that?
Well, okay, let me talk about how we found out about this. One of the workers who is a member of the California Coalition for Workers' Memorial Day, workersmemorialday.org, she's in a group called Kaiser Papers. Kaiser is the largest HMO in the country, and they're based in California. But so one of the her name is Dina Padilla, who actually is running for insurance commissioner and for Peace and Freedom Party in California. But what happened was is that we came in contact with this Kaiser worker. She was a cast technician. Her name is Gail Shepard, and she worked at this Kaiser hospital in Downey, and she got sick. And as a result of this, the organization they had, they found out that this was a Superfund toxic dump site in Downey, California.
Okay.
It had been a military base since 1927, and that it had been bought by a guy, his name is Stuart Lichter, who used to work for the General Service Administration. And Lichter had, Lichter, when he left the GSA, he, along with other developers in the United States, had gotten the Congress people, paid them off, to privatize these Superfund sites and turn them into what they call brownfield sites.
Brownfield, okay.
Brownfield. So around the country, you no longer have these Superfund sites. You have these brownfield sites, which have been, which were formerly Superfund sites, and then they changed the federal law to allow private developers to be responsible and in charge of development of these sites. And these private developers promise that they're going to clean them up and they're going to make them proper so that they can develop on them. But like we know in so many areas, these private developers want to make the quickest profit they can, and they actually turn these sites over without properly cleaning them up. And, of course, we're talking about the Downey site has been was a military industrial site since 1927. Rocketdyne was there. There were satellites. NASA was there. Boeing was there. I mean, they've dumped literally millions of pounds of gallons and toxic equipment, radioactive material, on this site for many, many years. So it actually is not feasible financially to clean the site up.
Now, Downey, is that in the Los Angeles
Downey
area?
Downey is in the Los Angeles area. It's actually the industrial basin of Los Angeles. It used to be a white working class area, Downey, City of Commerce and Norwalk. But now what's happened is it's mostly Latino area. Downey is Latino, you know, working class area. And, you know, so what Stuart Lichter did is he bought this site for, you know, pennies on the dollar, and then he started to develop it. And he hired, it turns out, the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, guy who was in charge of the site, and put him on the salary.
The revolving door.
That's right. And the papers on the site disappeared.
Oh, wow. It's magic.
So, you know, you know, the papers about whether or not it had been cleaned up disappeared. So then he decided that he could make a lot of money by turning one of the military hangars at the site into a studio. So he started a company called Downey Studios. And the studio was one of the largest studios in Los Angeles, and they've done many, many movie productions at the site, and also DreamWorks rented the studio. So what happened was is that workers who started to, movie workers who were going to work on the site, started to get rashes, they started to get headaches, they started to get pimples on their body. They got what they called the Downey cough. After working there a couple of weeks, they'd start coughing like a Downey flu. And one of the workers there, his name is Steve Basile, he's a IATSE member, a movie worker, a prop maker. He started to get a fungus on his hand, and his skin would peel off on his hand every 3 months like a snake.
Oh, wow. And these guys weren't, like, outside digging in the soil or anything?
Well, they were in the soil because if in a movie set, you know, you dig in the soil. You build props.
I see. Okay.
And he built many, many movies, you know. He built props, and there were hundreds, literally hundreds of workers working on the site. So initially their union, IATSE, put out a letter to their members, and this is all documented. If you workersmemorialday.org, they put out a letter saying that if you get headaches or you get rashes or skin infections, don't go to the site. Don't go there because there's something there that's toxic.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was that the owner, Stuart Lichter, and his company, it's called IRG, and this company is all over the country. Maybe in Illinois, it's in Ohio. This is a national, it's an international company. In fact, he even patented a way of making money off developing toxic dump sites. So this guy is into making money off the toxic dump sites, and it doesn't matter how many workers and people in the community get killed. Mm-hmm. So anyway, the union put out a notice, and Stuart Lichter sued the union for ruining his business.
Was he successful or in the suit?
He was successful. The union paid him $775,000.
Oh, my God.
There was a corrupt leadership at that time, this guy Tom Short,
mm-hmm.
and they may have been liable themselves, and he may have said, look, you knew about it, and you didn't tell your own members about it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, a sweetheart deal was made, and they signed a secret agreement, and they paid Stuart Lichter $775,000. Now, one of the workers who was on the executive board of IATSE Local 44, his name is Leonard Martin, had been raising the issue of health and safety, had worked on the site, and he discovered, he got a copy of this of the settlement agreement, the secret settlement agreement, and he released it to the public. It got out, and so people were aware that the union had actually conspired with the company to cover up the health and safety issues. And what the union said was is that there is no health and safety problem. Everybody should go to the job.
Oh, my God. Unbelievable.
So the workers began to get together. They were all getting sick. Not only were the prop makers getting sick, but on movie sets they had nurses, medical staff, and they were getting sick and cancers and all kinds of things.
Mm.
So it's a literal, they were doing nightmare films on the site. It's a literal nightmare. It's a nightmare on a nightmare.
Oh, boy.
Now, these are film workers. Now, this is Los Angeles, which is a center, one of the world centers of media, television, radio, and you would think that this would be something that would be covered.
Yeah.
But no.
Nothing, huh?
Nothing, not a word. Mm. No information about it in the mainstream media, on television and cable. So last year, a reporter for the Los Angeles Times, his name is Richard Verrier, he got in touch with the workers. They got in touch with him. He spent a year and a half doing an investigative journalism story. It was like 3 pages in the Los Angeles Times, which is a national newspaper,
mm-hmm.
about how these workers who worked on different films were getting sick from the same things. And he had pictures of them, and the article's on workersmemorialday.org. So he did this article, and after the article, there were some rebuttals from Stuart Lichter and a couple of TV things, you know, just short reports, and there was no follow-up by any of the politicians. Henry Waxman is a Democrat. The workers had previously gone to Barbara Boxer, mm-hmm. who's the quote-unquote liberal senator from California.
Yeah.
They went to her office. They gave information, their staff took notes, and then lo and behold, IATSE hires Barbara Boxer's brother, who's a lawyer, and makes a big contribution to her.
Oh. Gee, what a coincidence.
So yes. they drop all the investigations. So after this article comes out in the L.A. Times, you know, I mean, you'd think, you know, major article, in the movie industry, you know, and workers are getting sick, you know, and also in the meantime, in the last 3 or 4 years ago, Kaiser Hospital had built a hospital complex and clinic on the site. They spent over $700 million building a hospital on the site.
Oh, my God.
So all these people are going there, getting sick. Gail says people in her department were getting sick. People were dying there, not from what they came in from, but other things, their toxic reaction. Now, what happens at these toxic sites, and when you get contaminated, it affects people differently. Some people have an immune system, a stronger immune system than others. Others have a weak immune system, or they're already sick, and it just sets off reactions in their enzymes and their body. So, the OSHA, they went to OSHA. OSHA didn't contact them. They went to EPA. EPA didn't contact them. They went to NIOSH. They went to all the federal government and local government agencies. Nothing. No investigation, and basically they accepted Stuart Lichter's story that the site had been cleaned up.
This is simply amazing. I mean, well, you know, we're quite familiar with, you know, corrupt union officials, corporate media, you know, bought and paid for politicians. But, I mean, boy, this story, I mean, considering there's that many people that have been affected and plus a hospital being built on the site, you'd think that this would be picked up even by the corporate media.
Well, the corporate media is the corporate media.
Yes, sure.
And they're interested in covering up the systemic corruption. And also the other very important thing to understand for working people in this country is that they've deregulated workers' compensation. Workers' compensation used to be it's a way that, you know, employers avoid being sued,
mm-hmm.
and in return they promise to help workers who are injured on the job.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a social contract. But as a result of deregulation, what's happened is that injured workers now end up getting screwed by the insurance companies. Many injured workers, like for Safeway, this woman, they're told by the employer, go on SSI, go to the federal government. So there's a massive cost-shifting scam going on,
mm-hmm.
in which injured workers end up on the federal, state, and local payroll. So
yeah.
The private employer doesn't have to pay. It's criminal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a criminal cost-shifting. It's a RICO, really.
Yeah.
And this is going on nationally. And these same Democrats, who the unions have been supporting, take money from the insurance companies and do damage control for them. You look at the health care bill.
Oh, yes.
That just passes an example of that.
Yeah.
They're allowing these crooked, corrupt insurance companies to stay in charge of health care in the United States. So it's like the bankers. Let's let the insurance companies who've been ripping off the people, killing people, murdering
mm-hmm.
people by refusing to take care of their health care, even when they have insurance, let's let them be in charge of health care.
Yeah, and fine us if we don't buy their overpriced
That's
crap.
Right, fine us. That's, on top of that, you're going to be required to buy from these private insurance companies. So let's let these killers, these criminals, these crooks, they'll be in charge, and you have to buy insurance from these people. This is what the U.S. government, the Congress, the Democrats are doing. Durbin, all these Democrats
mm-hmm.
are going along with it for the most part. Well, this is reform, quote-unquote reform.
Okay. Now, how does Tesla enter this story?
Well, lo and behold, Tesla is a new company that was formed by these entrepreneurs, these billionaire entrepreneurs, this guy Brin and Page, who are the co-owners of Google in
okay.
Silicon Valley. They're,
mm-hmm.
they're billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
And also a guy named Elon Musk, who's a former owner of PayPal. So these people put together a company and developed technology with lithium batteries for electric automobiles. And lo and behold, last year, they get from the U.S. Department of Energy, Obama's Department of Energy, they get a $465 million loan, Department of Energy loan, to build an assembly plant, an electric assembly plant, green electric car assembly plant. Now, in California, they're closing down the Newby plant. General Motors, it was General Motors Toyota, but it's a Toyota automobile plant. And they're talking about building this green electric car on a toxic dump site in Downey. So Steve Basile and other workers went to the world headquarters of Tesla in Downey, and we met with Ricardo Reyes, who's used to be the head of YouTube communication, but now he's head of communication for Tesla. And we talked to him and said, look, you can't build on this site because workers are getting sick. And we gave him evidence, the information. And first he pretended like he didn't know what was going on there. But then, now the other thing that happened at this meeting is that he admitted that he knew that a suit had been dismissed, that Stuart Lichter had sued the injured workers and worker advocates in court in California, saying that they'd slandered him and harmed his business. Now, in California, fortunately, there's a slap law. It's called a law that prevents people, developers, corporations, from suing people to shut them up.
Mm-hmm.
And Nader and his guy that he ran with, Matt Gonzalez, who's a lawyer, had previously gone to a public event in Los Angeles during the campaign and had the injured workers speak there. And he agreed to take the suit. And what happened was is that they fought back, and they actually wanted Stuart Lichter to testify in a hearing. And Stuart Lichter did not want to be deposed because he's involved in corruption all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
He's involved in suing people who get sick. Many, many injured workers in Uniontown and Colorado, all over the country, bases, McClellan Air Force Base. He's developing these sites and shutting people up. And he pays off the politicians, the local politicians and state politicians, big loan. So anyway, he refused to be deposed, and the judge, and he said he couldn't. He was sick. His wife was sick. He gave all kinds of excuses, and basically the judge threw it out and said, you know, I'm going to dismiss it with prejudice, which means that Stuart Lichter cannot sue them again.
Okay.
So that means that his effort to silence these workers and worker advocates about the site was failed.
Okay, good.
And this guy, Ricardo Reyes from Tesla, the communications director, knew about it. So he knew exactly what was going on. But they're interested in, you know, playing the cities off one another in California. Long Beach offered $28 million. Downey offered $6 million in tax subsidies. The local, not only local, but state agencies are offering money, our taxes, to help build this plant, and they play off each other, and the billionaires' kids are getting our money. Now, these people, Paige and Brin from Google, and this guy, Elon Musk, these people are not poor people. They're some of the richest people in America.
Mm-hmm.
And we're giving them tax subsidies. If they really believe in the product, they don't need any tax subsidies.
Oh, indeed.
They've got the money to develop this, but they're basically ripping off the community, the public, to build a factory on a toxic dump site, Tesla. And what we're saying is this is outrageous. And after we met, they had promised this guy, Ricardo Reyes, the communication director of Tesla, promised that he would meet with the workers. He didn't have time to have a meeting. He was busy doing other things. He said, we're a startup here. We're too busy.
Okay.
This is what he was saying. We're too busy to really meet with you. But give us a call, and we'll... you know, we'll set aside some time and we'll meet with you. But lo and behold, workers have called. Workers have been trying to get in touch with him. He's not returning calls. He doesn't seem to have time, you know, to actually talk to them and find out what's going on.
Well, this is an incredible story. And I was looking at the site and everything, and I see that also these workers that are going to be assembling these cars at Tesla Motors are non-union?
Yes, it's a non-union company. They don't want unions, and they just changed the law that they have to their law under the Department of Energy, these funds, stimulus funds, are you have to pay prevailing wage.
Mm-hmm.
Now in California, since there is an assembly plant right now at NUMMI, that would mean $30 an hour. It would mean a decent wage, not mm-hmm. a decent wage. But that plant is set to close down in March. Which means then they could pay $7 an hour at the toxic assembly plant.
Jeez. So they're getting money from our tax money, from the federal government, from the state government, from
That's
local
correct.
Government.
That's correct.
And basically building these luxury cars of $110,000 and up.
That's right.
Building, I mean, the people organizing this, or doing the company, are billionaires, Google, PayPal, and such. And they won't even pay their workers, they won't even organize their workers, let their workers organize into a union and get a decent wage. I mean,
they're
this
anti-labor.
Is incredible. Yeah,
they're anti-labor. Now, so people can call Tesla Motors at 650-413-4000 on Monday, 650-413-4000, and ask them, why are they building on a toxic dump site? Because they've made a lot of publicity for auto enthusiasts, and they're going to be coming through Champaign, Illinois, actually.
That's right,
with
Tuesday.
Their new car. They've mm-hmm. made a lot of publicity about how they're green technology and green environmentalists, and they're concerned about the environment. Well, if that's the case, why are they considering building on a toxic dump site when workers, injured workers, actually came to their office to tell them? This guy, Steve Bazzilli, who's interviewed, we have a, if you go to the site, we did an interview with him about, and he talks about what happened to him and what happened to the other workers. Why would they want to build? And we call it nuts. I mean, Tesla, is Tesla nuts? I mean, here's a green electric company, and they want to build on a toxic dump site. But, you know, this is like par for the course in America.
Mm-hmm.
Completely screwy.
Indeed, indeed. Well, Steve, our listeners want to get some more information on this. What website should they contact?
Well, they should go to workersmemorialday.org.
Okay.
Workersmemorialday.org. And there's Alternet actually did a very good story. If they go to laborvideo.blip.com, TV, they can get more information, laborvideo.blip.tv. Last year at Workers' Memorial Day, we had a testimony at the Downey Kaiser Hospital by injured workers. We also had a press conference at the Los Angeles Press Club. Laborvideo.blip.tv, without WW, laborvideo.blip.tv. They can go to, workersmemorialday.org, and there'll be links and information there, videos. And we're trying to break the information blockade because, you know, you would think that the auto writers around the country, people who follow environment and the auto industry would actually be jumping on this story.
Yeah, yes,
indeed.
You know,
because, you know, here's an auto company, and it's getting $500 million in U.S. government subsidies, and it's building on a site that's polluted and injured workers. We're also the auto show. They're taking an auto, a roadster, $110,000 roadster, on a trip from Los Angeles to Detroit, the Detroit Auto Show, which starts on January the 8th in Detroit, and it is going to be going through Champaign, Illinois. We're working to get people to leaflet it and to ask people there, to let people know why they're doing this. And on the 9th, this coming Saturday, not this Saturday, next Saturday, we're going to be going to the Menlo Park dealership, which is next to Stanford, of Tesla Motors, and we're at the Raging Grannies. We're going to have music. We're going to have a press conference about why we're calling it the Detroit Auto Show West event.
Okay.
So there's a Detroit Auto Show, and there's a West event of the Detroit Auto Show. We want to know why this company, which is getting government money, is going to be building on a toxic site, and why they continue to say that they can't figure it out. They're having trouble figuring out these brilliant people, these brilliant billionaires who are building this green electric car, can't figure out that they shouldn't be building on in Downey on a toxic dump site.
Steve, this is an incredible and an outrageous story here, and I just want to thank you so much for calling in and letting our listeners hear about this worldwide. And Tesla's car will be coming through Champaign on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday, January 5th, from 3 to 5 p.m. You can see it over at the engineering department at 1308 West Green. Let's try to get people out and inform the public what's going on here. Steve, thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you, and you're covering the job, David. We need more labor programs. Thanks
okay.
a lot.
Okay, take care.
Take care.
Jack Miller kept the Senior Citizen Center for a long time up there in Seattle, Washington. Jack had spent most of his life in the forest as a logger or timber beast, they called him in those days, because you were treated like an animal. There were no bunk houses. He recalled sleeping on the ground with his fellow workers with their wet clothes from the rainforest piled in a heap next to the fire, hoping that they would be dry by the time to go to work the next day. Spoke many different languages in the forest, and they could hardly talk to each other. It was just like Lawrence. He said most of them had never been to school. Most of them couldn't read or write. Jack Miller could remember the Verona. There was a shingle weaver strike up at Everett, Washington. It was called the Everett Massacre. It's another one of those that didn't make it into the history books. The Wobblies, they chartered a steam launch called the Verona. And they had it sailed up there to Everett, bringing strike relief, and as the boat sailed in...
Well, by the way, folks, that story ends with about 20 of the strikers being murdered when the boat pulled into the harbor.
Yes, indeed. That was Utah Phillips, and that was called, a song called Why Come. Prior to that, you heard Grandmaster Flash, The Message. And the first song of the program, right before Tom Thomas's poem, was also Utah Phillips. And that song was Direct Action. So, you know, this is just a really incredible story of this Tesla Motor Company and everything. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And, you know, since this is like kind of our New Year's show, if you will, you know, I thought we'd just, I know Bill hates this, but we could just talk, you know, just briefly about some of the, you know, top kind of stories that related to working people and labor in 2009.
Well, my top story is only having about 30 days work this year, and yeah. I am not happy. If you can,
indeed. Well, Bill, you know, that's the thing is, you know, I've been going through my own trials and tribulations.
Top story, Barack Obama, hapless, weak, spongy.
How about sellout?
Sellout, corporate.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I can't disagree at all with that, Bill. And those are top stories, unfortunately, for a lot of people in this country, in the United States, you know, and something's got to change here, folks. I mean, you know, it's just it's not getting any better. It's just getting worse.
Yeah, well, but for example, why aren't the laborers putting people like me on buses and taking us to Washington and having a million unemployed march on Washington, D.C.? I would like that to be the top story of 2010. I am sick of these unions mollycoddling.
The leadership you're talking about.
Yes. The Democrats. Just because Barack Obama's a Democrat doesn't mean that he doesn't need to be accountable to the people who put him in office, which was a large number of help amount of help from the people that are now unemployed.
Well, indeed, labor gave Barack Obama an excess of $40 million, and not to mention the hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of hours that rank-and-file union workers spent knocking on doors in these swing states like Indiana, West Virginia, you know, Ohio. I mean, this is what got Obama elected, and what happens right after he gets elected? The Employee Free Choice Act. What happened with that? I mean, basically, he just laughed them off. I mean, and our labor leaders are giving money to people like this. I mean, $40 million, think what that could do to go out there and actually improve the lives of the membership and organize more workers into unions.
Oh, here's another top story of 2009. Apparently, now it takes 60 votes to get anything passed in the Senate.
Oh, yeah. That's something new.
Gee, I thought we had majority. You know, it was 51.
Yeah.
You know? Jeez.
Well, you get the impression that, I mean, you know, there's a couple decent Democrats still out there, Dennis Kucinich, Ohio, but, I mean, boy, there's so few besides Kucinich. I mean, the rest of them, both parties, Democrat and Republican, are bought and paid for by the corporate interest. I mean, look at the health care bill. Look at the Employee Free Choice Act. Down the tubes. Down the tubes. Wars in Afghanistan, Iraq, still going on despite the majority of opinion of the populace here in the United States against it. And expanding, bombing Yemen, and now threatening moves against Venezuela in South America. I mean, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. And the bailouts. I mean, the bank bailout. I mean, that's unbelievable. I mean, you know, it's funny because I got something here that it was Wall Street's 10 Greatest Lies of 2009, which, you know, for a lot of us, just kind of a little reminder. I mean, some of these lies, just run down the list real quick. The economy has improved. Oh, yeah. Number two, if you give banks capital, they will lend it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Three, taxpayers are being repaid. Oh, really? Number four, homeowners are being helped. Oh, yeah, okay, where's my help? Where's my help? Big banks will help small businesses. Number six, the Fed values transparency. Oh, really? Number seven, history will not repeat itself. In the beginning of the year, Obama said of Wall Street firms, quote, there will be time for them to make profits, and there'll be time for them to get bonuses. Now is not the time. Really? Well, it seems like they're doing it anyway, and it's just number eight. The pay czar will fight against pay. Treasury Department pay czar Ken Feinberg was supposedly appointed to keep a lid on executive compensation for companies sitting on federal bailouts. Two problems with that. First, the Treasury Department continues to ignore the fact that the TARP portion of the bailouts are only a tiny portion of the full bailout. And second, Wall Street was pushing back and winning at every turn. Well, that's amazing. President of the United States, the most powerful leader in the world, can't even take on the insurance industry, much less the banks, it seems.
Well, Dave, and
one industry.
Dick Durbin, who's one of our better senators, I'll say, did come right out and say it. He said the Congress, or at least the Senate, was owned by the banks.
Yep.
Bought and paid for.
You know, Durbin also made an interesting statement a while back, too, about the, remember a couple years ago, about Guantanamo, how it rivaled the concentration camps of Nazi Germany.
Oh, yeah, but they had, oh, man, they beat him up so bad over that.
Oh, yeah. Yes, indeed.
Oh, and the same people who are using the word Nazi all over the place right now. The right-wingers who would become teabaggers. And real quickly, we got a message from Neil Parthon, who has a show on WRFU, and if you live within a few blocks of downtown Urbana, you might be able to hear it. Anyway, he says that the Major League Baseball umpires have negotiated a five-year labor contract to extend through 2014. The previous bargaining agreement was going to expire December 31st, 2009. The umpires' relationship with management has mirrored that of the players, leading to work stoppages in 1970, 1978, blah, blah, blah. 1905, several strikes, I guess. They have also had failed mass resignation plan in 1999, which caused them to switch unions that now have negotiated a pair of contracts. But anyway, that's he's got a show on WRFU, him and Damian Matthew,
mm-hmm.
on at 2 p.m. What is that, 104.2, Dave?
I believe so. Okay, don't quote me on that.
And you could probably, I don't know, do they stream that over the IMC website?
I believe so.
Yeah, so check out IMC, whatever. It is in Champaign.
Have Neil send you the info, the number that you need to tune in to get that on FM, and also the name and time of the show.
Yeah, either that or people could just Google Urbana Champaign Independent Media Center.
Okay. WRFU.
WRFU?
Mm-hmm. WRFU, yeah.
.org.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and the last two big lies, the top 10, the lobbyists made us do it. Yeah, they sure did when they wrote that big check to your reelection campaign. Let's see here. Finally, number 10, Citigroup is the picture of health and too big to fail is over. One of the nation's largest banks, later its largest bailout recipient. The firm received its TARP obligation on December 14th with CEO Vikram Pandit stating, quote, once Citi repays the $20 billion of TARP trust preferred securities and upon termination of loss sharing agreement, it will no longer be deemed to be a beneficiary of exceptional financial assistance under TARP. Anyway, you wanted to say that by any measure of financial strength, Citi is among the strongest banks in the industry, and we are in a position to support the economic recovery. So there you go, folks. I mean, you know, it's just unbelievable. Seems like, you know, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse, and we need to do something about it. You know, this is just, you know, the betrayal by the Democratic Party. I mean, we need to remember this. I mean, we need to start thinking about a new party for working people and citizens as opposed to these two corporate-controlled parties. I know, of course, people are going to say, well, they'll never get elected. Well, you got to start at the local level and build up.
Yeah.
I mean, the Whigs were once in power, and the Republicans were in opposition.
Hell,
and
the Republicans won the presidency the first time out, man.
Yes, indeed. And so, I mean,
with Lincoln.
Yes, there is hope.
And
here.
Anyway, Kiwi's coming into the building
indeed,
now, so
indeed.
We got to get out of here.
Absolutely. And thank you for tuning in to the Illinois World Labor Hour. And if you'd like to post any comments to the show, Bill, how would they get a hold of you on Facebook?
Yes, on Facebook. Just look for Bill Gorrell. And if I think about it this week, I'll make a Labor Hour page.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, and we still got another minute here. We're waiting for our next air shifter, a Kiwi, to come in with her show. And we have any more comments here before Kiwi walks in the door here? I want to wish everybody a happy new year, and hopefully 2010 is going to be better. We need to start organizing people. I mean, that's the thing is, I mean, you know, you need to be informed. You need to be about the misinformation of the corporate media all the time. But you need to start talking to your friends and your coworkers and your relatives. And we need to start getting organized as a group to take back our country away from the corporate interest.
Yeah, just don't sit there and let them walk all over you anymore. I mean, I'm so disgusted. You can just ask most of my friends and relatives.
Okay, thank you for tuning in.